There's always a reason for better health, and here's Carlo with his.
My program with Awaken 180 actually started when my daughter was born, and at that time, I was over 300 pounds. I felt I owed it to her to better myself and my family, of course. And I'll never forget, it was my fourth week. I came in and my goals for that week were not met. And they found the positive in everything. And that was the biggest thing for me. Awaken 180 has provided me confidence, not only in my day-to-day eating, it's my day-to-day role as a father, as a friend. And that's something that for the longest time, I didn't have.
The benefits are endless after losing weight with Awaken 180. Carlo dropped his 84 pounds, and he did it in under 4 months. Scale results, life results, with a solution for weight loss online at awaken180weightloss.com.
B-Pod Studios.
This is Over Under 98.5 with Joe Murray and Dan Lifshatz. Here are the Bankroll Boys. Who you got?
It's Over Under 98.5. I'm Joe Murray alongside Dan Lifshatz. We are here to do the podcast, and it is the New Year's Day bowl games that will be coming up shortly. But let's get into the Saturday slate, Dan. Let's get right into it. Memphis-Penn State, a matchup of two high offenses. Memphis won their conference. Penn State, two losses towards the end of the year. They're 7-point favorites in this game. Generally, I think a team like them should be favored by 7 points against this team. On paper, it looks like an offensive game. To me, I think the conferences will make a difference here. But Memphis and their success over the last couple of years, maybe do they have more motivation than maybe a Penn State team? And I guess I should ask you, do you think that's something that's been pretty evident in a lot of these bowl games is the motivation?
Yeah, I mean, I think motivation has been the main thing. I mean, I think that's been the most important possible thing is the motivation factor in all these games. And that is, you know, we're seeing it from UNC today, or, you know, seeing it from Eastern Michigan the other day. I know they lost, but, you know, the quarterback's throwing punches. Obviously, he wants to win. They covered that. The motivation factor is legit and it's real. To me, Memphis can make a statement here by, you know, playing up and beating Penn State in this one. I don't love Memphis. I think they're a good team. Penn State opened a 7.5-point favorites for a reason. But I will say I think that Memphis is going to have the motivation factor. You know, there are a lot of things to consider in this one. Obviously, I think Penn State's quarterback probably playing his last game at Penn State, I assume. I don't know. I know that he's a senior, so I assume that this is probably his last game. Trace McSorley or whatever his name is. I like Memphis, too, just based off the motivation factor. I really do. They can make a statement there. Penn State was considered a top 10 team for a large portion of the year. And I think Memphis can really make a statement by at least playing with them, keeping that game close.
The Trace McSorley looking guy.
Not Trace McSorley. What's his name?
He looks like him.
We don't have internet access over here, so we're doing this.
It sucks.
Yeah. You know, we work at a radio station with no internet access, so it's part of it. I can't believe I said Trace McSorley. He hasn't been around in years. What's his name?
No, he looks like him. He runs like him. I got nothing. The same thing.
Sean Clifford.
So here's the deal, right? We either do it from our homes and our audio sucks, or we meet at the radio station and you get good audio, but we can't use our information.
I have to start bringing my fucking computers. I got to bring a work computer for me and the personal computer for you, and that's how we have to fucking
do it. And just so you know, like, this isn't us. I hope it's not a reflection of us or anything like that. It's just we're trying to give the masses the place.
Yep.
This is what we're trying to do. Normally, we open up the show with, blah, 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 blah.
How'd we do last week?
Yeah, because we're on time constraints.
Yeah.
So, again, you might hear us say, fuck off, a lot today, because that just might happen.
I think we're all in a mood.
So, anyways, Penn State, the over 60. I probably like the over in this one.
It does feel like the right side. It's just, it's a fucking high number, Joe. You never know what you're going to get out of Penn State. Like, maybe they come in and play lockdown defense. You just never really know. And that Memphis offense is streaky, man. It really is. I don't think I want to touch the total on that one. I don't.
Yeah. Notre Dame and Iowa State. We know Iowa State's a great team, but this is not a home game for them. And normally in those situations, I tend to fade them. Notre Dame, this game's a Camping World Stadium. Notre Dame, to me, has a good offense, a pro offense. They got a decent defense. It's not a high-pressure game for them. Like, I think they win this game by 10. 34-24, that's what I have this one. That's what I have this one slated at. But Purdy is a good quarterback. You're going to hear all about Ian Book. But Purdy can play. He's had a nice little season.
He can sling it.
He's got big receivers. Deshante Jones is his best receiver that they have. So I think it will be a back and forth game. And Notre Dame pulls away at the end, wins by 10.
Notre Dame being 3.5-point favorites on a neutral field. I think Notre Dame wins. I think this game is a potential game where they don't actually cover. I do like Iowa State in the 3.5, but not enough to play it. I will say this, and by the way, we don't have the PP bell today. Unfortunately, another thing that we don't have, they put in new computers and other internet, so I can't use the internet. I can't use the computer to get the internet. So, you know, unfortunately, we're not going to have that. I like the Iowa State Notre Dame under 55 or whatever it is, 54, whatever it's at. I'm not going to PP it, but it's something I really like tomorrow. I think this is going to be a defensive game, at least in my opinion. Iowa State is a very good defense. Notre Dame should still play pretty well defensively. The motivation factor, you really got to wonder, is going to be more worried about Notre Dame. You know, Iowa State's going to be ready to go versus a team like Notre Dame being able to make an impact on a big stage. Does Notre Dame give a shit about this game? And that's really where you got to, you know, if you want to lay money on them, you got to really figure out, do you think that Ian Book's going to come out and actually care?
Okay. Moving on to the college playoff on Saturday. We'll start off with the first game, Oklahoma LSU. Just off the bat, we know that Oklahoma is going to be missing a couple of guys. I believe it's a backup running back and their starting defensive end.
Yep.
Not sure what else. But this is the Oklahoma's fourth appearance in the last five seasons in the college playoff, and they have Jalen Hurts. Now, just in this situation, that's a guy that's going to give LSU fits. He has experience. So, there's a little bit of an edge here for Oklahoma. Of course, Lincoln Riley, he's got a high-powered offense. You don't know if this could be his last run here in Oklahoma as well. The thing is this. What's happening with Hilaire right now at running back for LSU? Joe Burrow's been winning awards like it's going out of style. We know they're a good team. We know what Coach O can do. I just think LSU's the more talented team, a better defensive team, and can put up 40 points a game. I'm not sure Oklahoma can put up 25-plus against LSU. So, off the bat, I like LSU to win this game by more than 13 points. And I'm just going to call it a 42-24 win for LSU.
All right, I'm going to give you the opening. We'll start with a PP here. Oklahoma-LSU over 75. Listen, to me, you have the Jalen Hurts factor offensively for Oklahoma. They're going to be able to score offensively because Hurts has been there. I actually think you'll end up seeing some defensive scores in this game, too. Joe Burrow feels like everyone's just pumping him up. And don't get me wrong, Joe Burrow was awesome this year. But, like, let's, you know, LSU didn't exactly play the toughest of schedules. Alabama's defense was shit this year. Garbage. He played very well versus Auburn. But, I mean, like, you know, let's see what he can do versus Oklahoma. I think Oklahoma's defense is a little underrated. I do think that he's going to be able to score, you know, 30-plus points. I think Oklahoma is going to keep this within 14.5. If it gets to 14.5 tomorrow, I would probably lay it with Oklahoma. I've heard the sharps are taking anything. Anytime Oklahoma gets the 14, it's getting hammered by a sharp. That number immediately drops to 13.5. So you know exactly where the sharps were with LSU when it opened at like 10 or 11.5. You know, I was able to get an LSU at 11. I'm also on Oklahoma at 14.5. I bought the half point. I'm looking for a middle there, to be perfectly honest with you. To me, the spread is tough in this one. It really is. LSU should beat them by more than two touchdowns, but the Jalen Hurts factor, man, that guy has the experience to put a real dent in LSU. I think there's going to be a shit ton of points Couple of defensive scores. Give me the over 75 PP.
Wow. See, the other thing, too, is what happens if LSU gets off to a hot start, 17-0, you know, something like that around Oklahoma's going to be chasing, which could be more points. And so I feel you on that, Dan. I think it's going to be a hard-fought game. LSU pulls away and wins by almost 20.
They could.
I got 42-24.
It just feels like an explosive play-type game. Both these guys, there's going to be a lot of big passes, big plays. I feel like probably a defensive score, too. I don't know. This has a bit. The opening number of 75 should, to me, the fact that they opened at 75, I mean, that's the highest total for an LSU game, I think, this season. So, to me, it's a dead giveaway of what I think Vegas and the bookmakers are expecting.
All right, the other game that night there, of course, is Clemson and Ohio State. Clemson's been a moneymaker, man, all year long. If you've been betting, early on it was a struggle, but I don't know, the last eight games or so, they've just been a pure moneymaker. Ohio State had that big win, comeback win against Wisconsin just a week ago. I think Fields is an issue. I think, if they could stop the running back, was it Darby from Ohio State? Dobbins. I think if Dobbins can be stopped, which I think he can, it's going to come down to Fields. I don't think he's healthy enough. I don't think he has the talent around him to stop that Clemson. So just me being really square, I like Clemson in this one. I think it's going to be a little bit closer than we think. I see like almost 60 points in the game right now. What's the total, Dan?
63.
So I'm going to go under. I think Clemson wins in a close one, 30-24.
Yeah, I think I like Clemson too, Joe. This may be one I add tomorrow, depending on how sauced I am. But I got to be honest, I like Clemson. I think they're the better side. And I'm an Ohio State fan, so it hurts me internally to actually say that. I know, I'm a douchey Ohio State fan. So, I think Clemson is the right side in this one. It's square, but squares win too. I think the Fields injury is a massive issue, and him telling you he's 80-85%, he's probably more like 90%. Mm. But nonetheless, the fact is that he's not 100%, and that is gonna matter in a few key plays in that game. And to me, that's a huge difference. I also agree defensively with you, Joe. I think that this is gonna be an under game. I think you're gonna see a lot of stops defensively from these teams. When it comes to Ohio State offensively, I think they're gonna struggle with Clemson decides to load the box and kind of make the play. Clemson hasn't had a tough schedule. We really don't know exactly what this team consists of this year. I just think that they're good enough to be at Ohio State, and I think they should be favored, a small favorite over Ohio State, and I would lean Clemson on the under.
Two names in this one to watch for me. Travis Etienne, if he can get going against Ohio State, it's going to set up the passing game for Trevor Lawrence.
Agreed.
In Ohio State, I know it's going to sound real square, but Chase Young, if he can get in the face of Lawrence and be a disruptor, because Lawrence is kind of one of those, takes the snap, doesn't really do a drop back, and just kind of floats one in there. Chase Young can get, jump for the balls or try to get around a tackle. He can be disruptive. So, I think it's going to be a close game, but I think Clemson runs away with it in the long run. I know it seems pretty square, but I like Clemson LSU in the national championship.
Yeah, as do I. Unfortunately, I would really prefer to be OSU, LSU. But I Etienne is such a talented running back, and if he gets going whatsoever tomorrow, look out. I mean, honestly, that's going to be a massive, massive issue for Ohio State to try and contain him. And in Lawrence, the thing that he does, he sets up the play action so well, Joe. So if they do that, it's going to be a runaway game.
All right. Those are your weekend games. And then we go into Monday, December 30th. I don't know what the fuck the bowl is.
New Year's, yeah. New Year's Eve, so the 30th of 2 days before.
You get your Western Michigan, Western Kentucky, Dan's old favorite. He might as well start eating some fried chicken, some old Kentucky fried chicken. And I watched this one, but December 30th.
The Servpro First Responder Bowl.
Responder Bowl.
Come on, Joe.
Yeah, I know. What did they go? 8-4 there, the Hilltoppers. I know that Do we really want to break this down?
No, I mean, you don't have to. Listen, why don't you step back?
I'm going to give you Western Kentucky.
Yeah, I think Western Kentucky is also the side. Western Michigan, to me, again, decent MAC team, but they're not as good as the Hilltoppers. Western Kentucky, and by the way, the total's sitting out right now at 53. This one should go over. There's going to be points in this game. In fact, you know, let me lock it up. PP Western Michigan, Western Kentucky, ding, ding, over 53. Ding, ding, whatever. Yeah, this is going to go over. It's going to be a heavily high-scoring game in that one. Those two teams will light it up. I know the total is low, and it's probably a little bit scary to people, but listen, the MAC, to me, was down this year. Overall, just in total, your MAC champion was Miami of Ohio. Western Michigan was okay at points this season, but not a good team. And Western Kentucky probably should have been more like 9-3 than 8-4. I think Western Kentucky is the much better team here. I would lean them on that side.
All right, and then we have Louisville, Mississippi State.
Franklin American Mortgage Music City Bowl.
What the fuck?
Ridiculous.
All right, so this is just when I look at these two teams off the bat, Louisville, Mississippi State, running games, right? What is it, Kylan, what the hell is his name? From Kylan Hill from Mississippi State, kid broke all the SEC records this year. He was an awesome running back. And then Louisville, they had a freshman running back named Hawkins this year. I believe he broke the SEC freshman record for rushing. So, you know, that's how I look at it. I think both those running backs want to get going here. I hate Mississippi State's quarterback. What is it, Schrader?
No, so Stevens is starting. Schrader is out hurt. So Stevens is starting.
You know, Louisville this year has a lot of overs. I think that's something that we found pretty successful this year. What's the line on this one?
63.
No, who's the favorite?
Oh, Mississippi State's favored by 4.
No, give me Louisville PP to win this game outright plus the 4.
Interesting. I actually think I'm pretty split on this one. I don't love a side in this one. I don't, because you never know what you're going to get with fucking Tommy Stevens, man. Like, the kid is erratic, and you never know what you're going to get from him. Louisville has consistently been a really good team this year. I think everyone undervalued them kind of going into the season a little bit. They were really good compared to kind of what they were projected for. Total sitting at 63, Joe. It seems like it should go over, but I feel like this is one of those games where one of these teams is going to not show up to play. Probably the SEC team, because that's usually what happens. I would lean under in the 63, at least on the total.
Dan?
I know.
Illinois is in a bowl game.
Do you know what the bowl game is called?
What?
The Red Box Bowl. Fuck you, Illinois. You deserve the fucking Red Box Bowl.
They play Cal. Did you know the two top linebackers in the country are squaring off in this game?
I did not.
Cal, Illinois, as we mentioned, but Cal has a linebacker named Evan Weaver. Leads the nation in tackles with 173. Illinois has a linebacker named Dele Harding, who's second with 148 tackles.
Interesting.
Did not know that.
Did not know that.
So there's that. Cal's going to another bowl game. They've had a few good victories this year.
They're finally healthy at quarterback. I mean, really, that was their issue all season, was the rotating in and out of quarterbacks. They're finally healthy there. They got Monster. Who was the other quarterback who was starting for them earlier this season? Illinois, by the way, Cal is a 5.5-point favorite. To me, where do you think I'm going in this one, Joe?
Illinois, baby.
Fuck Illinois. Give me Cal. I'm laying the points.
No, I'm not going against Lovey.
I'm not PPing it, but fuck Illinois. Fuck Lovey. give me Cal. And I like the under 44 in this game. In fact, PP under 44 Illinois Cal. I love that under. Cal's defense travels. We know
I have
this.
It at 24-20 Illinois.
Nah, I think give me 21-20. I'm telling you, Illinois is not. I mean, if Illinois wins this game, I would be surprised. But I do think Cal will be able to move the ball at least a little bit better than they did at least through the midseason, because their quarterback play was so erratic, just going from third and fourth stringers. It was brutal.
Florida takes on Virginia. Virginia, to me, early on, I liked them. Florida ended up only having two losses all year long. To me,
once they got rid of Driscoll,
yeah.
Not Driscoll.
What's his name there? The plays for the Red Sox now.
Felipe Franks.
Yeah. Once he was out, they went on a run here. How do you not like Florida in this one? I think they win by 2 touchdowns. But what's the motivation factor?
Well, I think that at least the quarterback will be motivated. To me, I agree. I think Florida's the side on this one if you're going to play a side. Virginia was very favorable, but, man, did they have some bad wins to close out the year, bad losses to close out the year.
I'm so out on Perkins.
They just – Virginia got the 8 wins, and I don't know how they did it. I mean, really, they got lucky getting the 8 wins or 9 wins, whatever the hell they got. What is it? 9-4 this year, I think it was. If I'm remembering correctly. But anyways, they got lucky to get the 9 wins. I had the over, 7.5 and 8. I got lucky that cashed. They were a really good team to start the year. And then once Miami beat them, it kind of all went downhill from there. So to me, Florida or nothing, total sitting at 55. I would lean towards the over, Joe, but I don't love it. I don't love it at all.
And those are the Monday games, right?
That is, yep. We're on the Tuesday, which is New Year's Eve.
What do we got for New Year's Eve games?
We got Kentucky, Virginia Tech to lead us off in the Belk Bowl. Virginia Tech sitting at a 2.5-point favorite over Kentucky. The total sitting at 47.5 right now, Joe.
Virginia Tech strong towards the end of the year.
They were. They got much better. They got much better. Their quarterback play significantly picked up. It seemed like the team actually wanted to play for their coach once he almost got fired. So to me, you would expect Virginia Tech to at least show up in this game. What's the Kentucky motivation factor? What is their motivation? You know, where is the desire to win these games going to come from Kentucky? And to me, that is the real question. You know, Virginia Tech went 8-4. They lost the biggest game of the year, really, to Virginia, a game that, you know, they had won a million times in a row. And I know that everyone wants to kill Fuente because of it, but it is what it is. I wouldn't touch this one. I think this is a really tight game. I think, if anything, you're looking at maybe an underplay, but I would stay away. This is a real tough one for me.
So if we're talking motivation, here's another one. Arizona State at Florida State. Florida State, they didn't go to a bowl last year, which was like their longest, like 36 years or something. Willie Taggart's out. You know, Arizona State, I definitely think that, they won that last game of the year, remember, to become bowl eligible.
But did they beat, like, Oregon?
Yeah, they did. Yeah, they beat Oregon, that's right.
Yep.
Akers not playing for Florida State. So if you ask me,
he's going to the NFL. So
I think Arizona State has a better defense, and I think they're on the trending upwards. They've had a lot of under games this year. What's the total?
Total sitting at 54.
Under, lock it up.
Hey, PP?
Yeah, let's do it. All right. I like Arizona State too, but I'm not going to PP that one.
I disagree with Joe on this one. I think this is going to be an over an FSU game. I think this is a game where you have a new coach, so there's going to be motivation from FSU to actually show up. A lot of those guys in Arizona State are gone. They're leaving school. Herm Edwards is, you know, he finds the motivation, so I don't want to go against the Arizona side. But I just think you'll see Florida State score some points. Like, these guys have to show up for their coach. Like, they're going to have to show up. You know, this game is going to matter also in spring practice, of course. But, like, this game is going to matter and kind of decide where guys kind of get, you know, at least kind of get off on the right foot. To me, this is a big game. So I lean Florida State on the points. Total open at 5.5, down the 4, and total's down to 53.5. So the people agree with Joe. The total's going under. I just think it's going to be a close one. Not a big one for me either way.
All right, interesting game. Navy and Kansas State.
AutoZone Liberty Bowl, my favorite.
Navy has, I think, one of the most one-sided players in their quarterback, Perry.
I think he's
unbelievable. He really is. What else do they have?
They have a good defense. They have obviously a solid run game. Their offensive line is very good. I think they're used to facing running teams, and I think that they'll be better prepared for a running team. Do you consider Kansas State exactly a running team? I don't know. Kansas State was pretty good in the Big Ten.
I do like Skylar Thompson, though. Like, I think he can run and throw.
Yep.
They're one of the better defensive teams in the country.
I agree. The one thing I will say is I think that Kansas State doesn't exactly see a lot of triple option teams, right? That's not exactly something.
And then there's a motivation thing there. Do you want to practice for 2 weeks in a meaningless game against an option?
So to me,
because that sucks. If you've ever faced an option, it sucks.
It sucks when you're not getting anything from it. You know, you're gonna go to the game. You're gonna get your swag bag anyways. You know, you're not getting any fucking glory from beating Navy on New Year's Eve. I like Navy in this one. I think Navy is gonna roll in this one. Opened at Kansas State -1. Navy is now 2.5-point favorites for a reason. The sharps on them, the movements on them. To me, I like them. I think that I think Navy is going to win this game.
Dan, Wyoming, Georgia State, what do you got?
Yeah, so Georgia State in the Nova Home Loans Arizona Bowl. Listen, Wyoming is the better team here. I'm not going to try and be too cute in this one. Give me Wyoming in the 7 if I'm taking a side there. And I like the over. I think this one's going to go over. Wyoming should score some points. Georgia State is an explosive offense with Dan Ellington. They can score. I don't love this game in terms of anything, but I would lean Wyoming in the over. It's a little square, but that's the way I would go.
Okay. Utah versus Texas. Now, what have you always told me about Texas?
I don't know.
Don't bet Texas.
Oh, well, that's fair. Yeah, I mean,
where's the motivation for Utah here?
You know, there could be motivation coming from, well, you know, fuck you for leaving us out, you know, putting in a one-loss Oklahoma team over us. But it's hard to find a motivation factor here. It really is. At the same token, you can kind of say the same thing for Texas. Like, what the fuck do they have to play for at this point? You know?
I don't know. Ellinger over Huntley, in my opinion.
Yeah,
and
but
I think Moss might be looking ahead.
Huntley and Moss over anyone that Texas has. And the thing is, I want everyone to understand, things are going to change in these bowls. Players are going to be ruled out. Players are going to play. So these are our thoughts right now. Things will change. I don't know why I always have to say that every bowl season, but it seems like people forget that happens.
Two defensive players are not playing for Utah either because of the NFL draft.
Yeah.
One, Julian Blackman, he's out with a knee injury, and Jalen Johnson's going to skip for the draft, and then we don't know about Moss, right?
Moss, I would assume, is probably... If Moss doesn't play, I can't back Utah. But if he does play, I mean, he's such a gamer, dude. I would back Utah just based upon the fact that Moss
plays. I think
plays.
Texas brings it every single game. It's just whether they execute. Like, I think that's their biggest issue.
Does Tom Herman give a shit about a Texas bowl game?
Yeah, he probably has some sort of, like, I mean, they beat Utah. It's a big deal.
Yeah, that is true. Maybe get the boosters off his back a little bit. I don't know. That one's a tough one. The total sitting at 55, Joe, I'll tell you, that's too low. That's too low. Yeah, I agree. That's an over game.
I agree with that. My phone went dead again.
All right.
We got Michigan, Alabama.
New Year's Day. Michigan, Bama.
Bama's going to roll that ass. PP it. -7. Harbaugh, you suck. You literally. Alabama's going to fucking destroy Michigan. Can we put that on a t-shirt?
Alabama's going to destroy Michigan?
No, Alabama's going to fucking destroy Michigan.
I don't think we're going to get that one approved. But I'm okay with it. Listen, whole world's going to be on Bama, right?
Yes.
Whole world's going to be on Bama. And you know what? They fucking should be.
Look, just I mean, the other thing is, who's playing for Alabama? Is everybody going to play?
I mean,
because they have four first-round picks at wide receiver.
Right.
They're going to get six guys drafted.
Well, you have to assume that Judy is not playing. You know, Tua is obviously not playing. Who's the other wide receiver they have that I'm blanking on?
He's
his
like
name?
A friend. He ain't going.
Higgins, whatever. He's not Yandle. Playing.
Yandle, right?
They have a bunch of kids who are not going to play for them. The question is, does Mac Jones still have enough weapons around him to be explosive versus Michigan? Michigan never wins these games, ever. I'm not going to start back in Michigan now. As Joe just said, you know, Bama minus 7 is a PP. I agree with him.
What's the total?
Square as fuck. Total's at 58.
Over. Way over.
It should, but it feels weird, dude. The whole game feels weird. Bama should be laying more than 7. And the total should be higher. It opened at 56. Should be higher than 58. I don't know. It's a weird feeling to me, but.
Fucking Michigan State motherfuckers.
Yeah, no, agreed. Whatever. All right, moving on. We got a Minnesota-Auburn same day.
Oh, no.
I got one in this one. This is the Outback Bowl. PP under 54.
I fear for Minnesota this one. I don't
Me
know
too.
Why.
Auburn's going to fucking smack that ass, it feels like, right? Like, I just think defensively, these two teams are both very good defensively, and there will be a lot of good defensive play in this one. I understand there's going to be people missing, but, like, Bo Nix is obviously going to play for Auburn. Minnesota wants to win this one. You know Minnesota wants to win this one to show that they should have been in consideration for a bowl. PJ Fleck is going to get his ass fucking fired the fuck up. To me, there's no lack of motivation for either side here. I think this is going to be an under game, an easy under game. So, and I know everyone and their mother is going to be on the over too.
Okay, what else we have that day?
All right, we got Oregon, Wisconsin in the Rose Bowl. Wisconsin currently a 3-point favorite.
All right, let's
total
say
sitting at 51 and
let's
a half.
Let's say it's a meaningful game for a playoff, and you put the two teams together.
Right.
Wisconsin or Oregon?
Wisconsin. Meaningful game. I'm laying with Wisconsin, especially after what they did to Ohio State. They were incredibly impressive in that Big Ten game. To me, I mean, Oregon blew out Utah, and, you know, credit to them, but they also blew a game in Auburn week one. Now it's week one. It's a long time ago, but neutral site game, it's kind of a similar situation. I don't know. I don't want to back Oregon in a spot like this until I have seen them do it, and I haven't seen them do it. They don't win. They just don't win. They don't win these important games. So to me, I'm out on backing Oregon until I see it from them. To me, this is another under game. Okay, this is another Oregon, very good defensive team for the first half of the year. Got worse. Wisconsin, very good defensive team in general. I think you're talking about a slug it out game. Herbert to me just isn't still. It's just not that impressive. I would go under here, and I would lean Wisconsin.
Mm. I don't know, Dan. I don't know.
Okay. You like Oregon? Oh, bless
so maybe
you.
Maybe I shouldn't.
Apparently you like Oregon.
Maybe I shouldn't after that sneezer already there.
Seriously.
I don't know. I got nothing. I'll bet it when it happens.
I agree. I think that this.
I gotta feel it.
Can I just put it like this? I think that New Year's Day is already very hard to project out because there's going to be so many players who are declared ineligible already. I think these games are a little bit easier because these teams just don't have the type of talent, the games that are coming up here. They just don't have the type of talent as those teams did. Thursday, day after New Year's Day, everyone goes back to work. Life sucks again. BC, Cincinnati in the Ticket Smarter Birmingham Bowl. Cincinnati a 7-point favorite. BC somehow made a bowl and got the coach fired.
Can we stop?
The total is at
Cincinnati
56.
Minus 7 PP logging up.
Yeah, I mean, I agree.
Who the fuck is playing quarterback for BC?
I don't know.
Flutie's kid?
Grossell, probably.
Fucking Rabel's kid?
Probably Grossell. I mean, it's bad.
I mean, I know that the BC surprisingly scores a lot of points.
BC will be able to run the ball, but it's the actual air raid that you're, I mean.
Yeah. Dude, Cincinnati was like a – they lost to Memphis twice in a row.
Yep.
Close.
Yep.
So, like, to me, Ritter, everything they're doing, their coach is one of the hottest coaches going, Fickell, right now, right?
Yep.
So, I mean, to me – I mean, Adazio's not there. I wonder if there's anything to that. Cincinnati, a seven-point favorite.
They're hiring the Ohio. They're hiring the Ohio State defensive coordinator.
Yep, Halfley.
Yeah. So, whatever. Can I give you one that I really like here? And it's going to be an unpopular one. Indiana, Tennessee facing off in the Tax Slayer Gator Bowl. Okay. Everyone loves Tennessee here because it's fucking Tennessee. Indiana hasn't played well. Indiana. Give me fucking Indiana PP plus 1.5. I've been fading Tennessee all year. I'm going to keep fucking doing it. Indiana's the better team. They can throw the ball. They can run the ball. This should be an underplay. An overplay. I like Indiana. To me, they are the side, absolutely. Tennessee is going to have more NFL talent. They're going to lose more players. The motivation factor, fucking Indiana wants to beat the SEC. No one from the SEC, no one from Tennessee gives a fuck about this game. So to me, Indiana is the absolute right side without question there. So PP Indiana plus 1.5.
I got nothing on that game.
All right. And the final game, that you want to do all the final games? You want to save the other two for next week?
Sure, let's do it.
All right. Three games left. On the third, we have Ohio-Nevada in the famous Idaho Potato Bowl.
Ooh.
Ohio currently laying 8. Total sitting at 59. We talked about how bad Nevada was for a large portion of the season. I think Ohio's the very, very square side.
By the way, can I just fill you in on what's going on in this week for us?
Yeah, hit me.
Michigan State was in the red zone twice. The game's still not over the total yet. It's 27-21.
How the fuck is that
possible? Wake Forest has the ball with 2 minutes to go to win the game.
Wow.
So either it's not going to go over or Wake Forest, and it's going to go over and Wake Forest wins.
Wow, we both need this, huh?
Like, it's like a fucking...
How the fuck did that not go over?
I can't believe... We'll do the finish this, but I got a couple of things to add later.
All right.
What do we got here? Right. I like Ohio.
Yeah, so the Ohio side's going to be the square side. I'm going to tell you it's going to be hard to do this. There's no fucking way I'm backing Nevada. I don't care what the motivation factor is. Just can't do it. Saturday, January 4th, the Lockheed Martin Armed Forces Bowl. Tulane... 7-point favorite over Southern Miss. Give me Tulane. They're just a better team, Southern Miss. A couple of nice wins in their conference this year, but the conferences aren't close, and Tulane is the much, much better team, in my opinion. Tulane should absolutely roll Southern Miss.
Yeah, they've been disappointing, though. That's the thing.
They have been, but they've still...
Is that the last bowl?
No, one more after that.
Oh, okay.
To me, yeah. To me, that's whatever, and that's an over. To me, that action game should go over. Finally, Louisiana Lafayette and Miami of Ohio in the Lending Tree Bowl.
Who's favorite?
Louisiana Lafayette, 14-point favorites. And the total sitting at 55.
Played App State?
Yes.
They can run the ball well.
They can. And they almost came back on App State, man. They were very close to completing that comeback. They can score points. Can score points here.
Blaine Gabbard's little brother. Miami, Ohio sticks around, always hangs around.
They're a good MAC team, man. Like they played really well this year. You got to give them credit for that. I would lean Miami of Ohio to cover the 14, but again, I have no interest in covering and touching this. We haven't really gotten any good bowl games this year, and it's starting to show. I mean, UNC absolutely shellacked the shit out of what's their face today. Like, we haven't got any good bowl games. Yeah. Wake Forest, Michigan State is kind of a decent
game. The Eastern Michigan game was good until the end.
Yeah, well, I mean, it was great.
Mike Glass wanted to knock out a ref.
I mean, he flopped, grazed him.
He flopped.
He pulled a Marcus Smart flop.
I figured I'll just mention this now. If there's something I've just learned of late, I think the books have me by the balls a little bit. Like, there was a game you had the other day. It pushed. I had Eastern Michigan State pushed. There were some Christmas Day games. The totals came right down to the end. Like, the books are dead on right now.
They are.
Like, You know, you just got to be like, again, this Wake Forest game that we were talking, like, it's going to go one way or the other.
Yeah,
like
the one game I lost last week was the Liberty game, and they beat.
Did you see the Hawaii BYU game?
I did. I was on Hawaii, and that
was on BYU.
I know, and that game.
I thought that was fishy.
It was something.
BYU should have ran the fucking ball.
They called
run the ball.
They called a field goal and it didn't count. Like, it was a clear field goal.
What the hell was the fucking upright that thing went through?
I mean, it wouldn't have mattered because they would have lost by four, or they would have lost by one instead of three. But, like, nonetheless, like, that was a fucking field goal. It's weird. The bowl games have been, the numbers have been really spot on, dude. Like, UCF covered in that game, like 15.5. No one wants to
like. They
didn't
cover second half. They won by 6, not 7.
I know, but like, you know, like La Tech feels like the only one they really missed on. But they've been spot on a lot of these games. UNC was obviously the right side today. It wasn't even a question. But like, there's been a lot of these games they've been really, really spot on. So
Texas A&M just went from 4 to 5. What do you think?
I mean, I locked Texas A&M at 4.5. So I'm sitting right in the middle. I think that it's a dead number either way. You know, Wake Forest 4th and 14 from their own 16.
Yeah, I'm watching.
Yeah, okay. All right, that's our bowls. Those are the bowls. We cover all the bowls. Again, next week we'll do the podcast at some point. First podcast of 2020. We'll cover whatever bowls. We'll look ahead to the national championship game. Probably going to be LSU Clemson, but I hope I'm wrong on that. We'll see what happens. Give me an interesting week. I would warn you, don't go heavy on bowls, man. Just don't. You got conference play in college basketball coming up. You got NHL and the second half of the NHL NBA seasons. There's a lot. Don't bust your nut on college bowl season where you're trying to determine the motivation factor of 18 to 22-year-old kids who are really just looking to go out, get laid, and have a good time, get a swag bag. So, you know, just be careful on you know, these motivation factors. Joe, you got anything else for bowl season? Or bowl segment?
That is it. Hopefully we're breaking down a championship game next week.
Agreed. Yeah, we will be. All right. All right, you're listening to Overrunner 985. Coming up next, we're getting the NFL Week 17.
Hardcore baseball talk. Inside the ropes with wrestling talk. And where you should put your money with Overunder 98.5. Listen to the podcast at 98.5thesportshub.com and on the Sports Hub app.
You're listening to the Over Under 985 podcast. You can find all of our documented picks at Dan Lifshatz, at Joey Murr, and at Over Under 985 on Twitter. You can also listen to us Thursdays with Toucher and Rich, 7 to 7:20 a.m. to discuss everything that's going on in the sports world of betting, the NFL, college football, and any other sports slate that is going on that week. Make sure to listen to us 7 to 7:20 a.m. every Thursday on Toucher and Rich.
NFL picks week 17. Be careful, everybody.
Be careful, guys. Straight up, you're going to... There's a lot of players who are not playing this week. A lot of players.
I might lightning round this thing here because... Like Jets, Bills. Bills, 1-point favorites. They already locked up a playoff spot.
And I believe that they're getting the... I believe they're locked into the 5th seed. I'm not positive about that, but I don't believe that they can fall to the 6th seed. So to me, I think they're locked into the 5th spot. They probably play Josh Allen, their starters, but like, I don't know if I want to play lock Buffalo in. Like, they went from 5.5 to a pick'em. So my guess is that there's probably some consideration from the Buffalo Bills coaching staff not to play their guys on Sunday. If I was them, I fucking wouldn't. I wouldn't play them. So I would look at the Jets. Total sitting at 36, Joe. I like the under, especially if we're going to have, you know, a lot of bench guys, you know, coming in for, you know, for offense. I think there's going to be a lot of guys. So to me, I like the under a lot.
Let's see here. I'm sorry. You know what? For some reason, I think I would bet Buffalo on this one. But the Jets looked, I guess, semi-decent.
I mean, dude, they beat the Steelers last week.
Yeah.
Again, Steelers aren't great, but... It was a good win, a new win that we needed for our win total. Oh, if you got the Steelers plus +3 last week, like I told you to take, you're sitting pretty. You made a good amount of money on that.
Yeah, Michigan State's trying to punch it in. There's 40 seconds left. They can just take a knee and end it. That's like an FU touchdown.
I need them to score. Like, really, really need them to score.
Up 27. That's it.
They didn't score?
They ended the game.
Fucking fuck. How does that game not go over? That is unreal. I cannot believe that game did not go over. Unbelievable. That is... We both just got fucked there. Unreal. All right, on to the next. Joe, we'll go on. I'll continue on a little bit here. Browns-Bengals Sunday. The Browns have literally no motivation. The Bengals are 1-14. They've already locked in the number one seed. Do the Bengals go out and try to win the game and give Cleveland a fucking game? Cleveland is 2.5-point favorites right now on the road. Total sitting at 43.
I'm going to go Cleveland, and here's why. Because, like, I think it will, like, soften the blow on Freddie Kitchens a little bit.
But do you think any of those players want to play for Freddie Kitchens? We've heard all the reports.
They can't lose to the Bengals.
I think there's a good chance they're going to lose to the Bengals.
Oh, God. I'm not betting it. I'm not touching it.
I'm done
with the Browns. Fuck the Browns.
Yeah. Again, I wouldn't touch it either. But, yeah. All right, let's move on to a game that people do not know what's going on. Or I guess they do now. The Bears traveling to Minnesota. Minnesota has basically declared that they are not playing Kirk Cousins. They're not playing Dalvin Cook. It doesn't sound like Stephon Diggs is going to play. There's going to be a lot of talent missing from Minnesota, Joe. Chicago went from a 7-point dog to a 3-point favorite. I was lucky enough to get him at Pick'em earlier today. Do you have anything for this one? You backing Chicago as a 3-point favorite in a game where Minnesota's not playing anyone.
No, I'm not touching this game because I think both teams suck and blow.
By the way, total drop from 41.5 to 36. There is
literally no. No.
I'm not backing Chicago as the 3-point favorite. As a pick'em, I would be interested in doing that. That would be me. All right, moving on. We got Atlanta, Tampa Bay, an interesting movement in this one, Joe. Tampa Bay open as a 2.5-point favorite. They're down to a pick'em. Atlanta getting the majority of the bets. The money is coming in on Atlanta. The over is at 48 now. What are you thinking on this one?
I got nothing. This game doesn't matter to me. It doesn't matter in the long run. Maybe it matters for Jameis Winston.
Maybe it
matters for Atlanta because they're bringing Quinn and Dimitroff back.
Right. So, I mean, I don't think it matters for them. I mean, it's probably nice for them to win, but I don't think it matters. Tampa, it matters for Winston because this is going to be the last game film he has before free agency. It's going to be an important game for him. I don't know. Do you expect a Jameis Winston pick six? He has 28 interceptions. He's two away from the 30-30 club. Does he make it to 30 interceptions this week,
no,
Joe?
No.
I'm rooting for it. I'm at the very least rooting for it.
Let me throw a couple games at you that really have importance.
All right.
Chiefs, Chargers. Chiefs have been rolling. They've only given up 3 points over the last couple of weeks here. The Chargers, I mean, who knows? Phillip Rivers' future, whatever. It's in Kansas City. They need the win. They're still trying to go for the 2 seed. They're 9-point favorites. It is a divisional game. They beat them last time on the road. To me, I like the Chiefs in the spot -9.
Certainly not giving them 9. Divisional game, you never know what's going to happen in these, but I'm definitely not backing the 9. I do think Kansas City is going to win. This is a big win. They need to win.
Is this a week where you might do money line parlays, Dan?
So week 17 has been known as the week that is most profitable for NFL teasers and as well as NFL money line parlays. So here's an interesting one I gave my buddy. He asked me to bet it for him, and I actually gave it to him. Okay, a little 13-point teaser, Joe, with the Chiefs, the Dallas Cowboys, right? You get a little New Orleans action because they're playing for their lives, and then Green Bay or New England, whichever one you want to put in there. I think that those are a nice little 13-point teaser for you You know, pay the extra 10 cents of juice, whatever, have some fun. I know you guys don't listen
to me. So you don't want to bet the 9 on the Chiefs?
No,
I'm not. What about 16 on the Patriots?
Yeah, I mean, when it comes to the Pats, I just don't know. Like, it feels like the Pats probably run away with this one early. Like, it would not be surprising if Brady...
If Mike did play late.
Listen, I got to be honest with you. I think this is Brady's last game, regular season game in New England, ever. I think he's done. I think he's gone, which sucks. He's my favorite player I've ever seen play in any professional sport ever. So it hurts me as a fan. I think the Patriots will come out and absolutely fucking ruin the Dolphins. So if you're looking for a bet, I like the Patriots first half. You know Brady's going to play. If they're up by too much in the second half, I feel like they'll pull him. Like, it might get close. Maybe he goes back in. But, like, they're not going to risk the health of Brady because Stidham is just not ready to take over in case. To me, I would absolutely take Brady. I would take the Patriots first half if you're looking for something in that one.
All righty, then. How about the Saints 13-point dogs on the road against Carolina?
I mean, 13-point faves? Yeah.
Oh, faves, sorry. Will Greer? Fuck Will Greer. He sucks.
He does suck. He was fucking terrible last week. They should play Kyle Allen. I don't care what the fuck they think. It feels like Carolina's playing. Christian McCaffrey's suiting up again. I mean, it's kind of gross. Not something I would really love to play. Maybe an underplay, Joe, but you never know. Greer throws like a pick six here. The NFL is tough this week. I would say nothing there, to be honest with you. I got nothing. Got nothing for me there. What about this one, Joe? Green Bay, Detroit. Packers now 13-point favorites, total sitting at 43.5. What do you like in that one?
Nothing. See, there's not a lot of value on the board.
I think the value was zapped early. I think if you got the big faves early, then you got them in. And if you got some of the teams who are resting their players early, you got them in. Like, we got the Steelers last week, you know. So, I mean, that's one. You know, the Jets are another one we're talking about. Let me give you a PP here, Joe. This is a team that needs to win. Absolute must-win game for them. Tennessee Titans -5.5, okay? The rumor on the street is that Houston's not going to be playing any of their players. I would lock in Tennessee -5.5 right now. I think Tennessee is going to play the win this game. And Houston, without Watson, is fucking garbage. They're not going to play Hopkins either. Tennessee should bowl them over and run through them. Tennessee win by 5.5 points. Give me Tennessee -5.5. I like that one a lot. So there's a PP for you.
Really?
Yep. I mean, there's no Houston has nothing to play for. They're locked into their seed. So, you know, there's nothing they can do. They're the four seed.
Okay.
So
Eagles at Giants. Giants are +4 at home. The Eagles have to win this game, right?
I think the Giants are winning this game, dude. The Eagles struggled versus the Giants at home. Like, now we're facing them there. They're even more depleted. They just came off a really emotional victory over the Cowboys. This feels like the ultimate letdown spots of letdown spots. The Giants fucking hate the Eagles. You know there's a motivation factor to upset them and win and, you know, keep them out of the playoffs. Not that they like Dallas either, but, like, you know, it's always fun to play spoiler. To me, I'm rolling Giants. I like the money line here. I would lay the +180 and take the money line here.
Just to get you caught up on Texas A&M Oklahoma State, Kellen Mond fumbled on the opening drive.
Awesome.
And then Drew Brown is starting for some reason for Oklahoma State.
Interesting.
He got sacked 3 times in a row. They went for a 53-yard field goal and missed.
Good.
0-0.
Good.
We like the under.
Good. I like the under. Makes sense. Drew Brown starting for Oklahoma State. Yeah. It's a fucking ridiculous. I feel very fortunate to have A&M right now.
And Brown had some good time with Hawaii a couple of years back.
Yeah, I mean, he was okay, but yeah. He is not a starting caliber quarterback.
Colts,
even in college.
Jacksonville? I feel like the Colts end the year on a nice little note here.
I mean, they should, man, right? This Jacksonville team is absolutely embarrassing. By the way, you hit your Colts under.
That's right.
So the Colts under came in. I want nothing to do with this game, Joe. Nothing. If anything, I'm leaning over. I'm looking at I'm an overplay here. I'm looking for both teams to score some points. To me, that would be the best option there. To me. Another old 4 o'clock game, Joe. Washington, Dallas. Dallas down to 11.5 point favorites after opening at 14. So the money has come in on Washington. Total sitting at 46. I like Washington to still cover the 11. I do. I think that they will keep it around a touchdown. Washington has loved playing spoiler the past few weeks. I think Washington will keep it within a touchdown, but I just think Dallas and, I think Dallas will find a way to win this game. They're too good not to win this game. They're not a good team, but they're too good not to win this game at home versus a team with a backup quarterback who just isn't very good.
Okay.
Anything on that?
No.
All right.
Oakland with a chance to still make the playoffs, Dan. Wait, I just had it in front of me. 3-point dogs in Denver, no Jacobs.
Yeah, so Jacobs rolled out. So what is it that they need to happen?
Six things.
Five things, right?
Colts need to win, Titans need to lose.
Colts need to win, something. Titans need to lose. Yeah, Pittsburgh has to lose.
I think out of it.
There's four.
Something.
There's like four random teams. And one of them has to win, and then they have to win. It's like a slew. It's like a list.
But I hope it happens.
Oh, me too. Oh, me too.
Well, this happened years ago. If you remember the Patriots, Brett Favre, all he had to do was like beat the Jets, and he like tanked against the Jets, and the Patriots didn't get in on the 11-5.
That was the 11-5 year. Yeah, yeah. I hope to God that Oakland gets in. That would be awesome.
I still wish the Pats got in that year at 11-5.
Just to see what Castle. Well,
because, dude, Moss, and Castle started turning it on to get whatever.
I know. At the end of the year. I remember
you
it was.
We can do a podcast on that season on ourselves.
Honestly, that was a fun year to be a Patriots fan because you had no.
Welker and Moss, and they were loaded still.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And their defense was okay, but they 11-5.
I think Vrabel was really good that year, right?
And they traded him in Castle.
I'm pretty sure Vrabel was like a stud that year. All right. Anyways, moving on. Arizona, L.A. Right now,
Kyler Murray playing.
Kyler Murray is out. That is the rumor on the street. It opened at 7. It's down to 6. It looked to me, who was their backup last week? I'm blanking on who it was.
I don't even know.
Okay. I'm blanking on who it was. It looks to me like it's going to be a backup quarterback for the Cardinals, right? If it's a backup and that is really the case, then, it's interesting. I mean, Drake got banged up last week. He does not look great. I know Kyler is questionable, but I don't think he's playing. Jalen Ramsey's out. All right. So Ramsey's out. To me, it's just like, I don't know, man. I just think that they should keep Kyler Murray out. There's no reason in risking injury, and I'm fucking blanking on
it. Brett Hundley?
Hundley was the backup quarterback last week, and honestly, he didn't look
terrible.
He did not look half bad last week. So I'm still taking the Rams. They need a win to make the playoffs. So, I mean, the Rams in that spot win the game because they need to make the playoffs. All right. Final 4 o'clock game, Joe. Pittsburgh, Baltimore. If you didn't take it last week, Pittsburgh now has moved from 3-point dogs to 2-point favorites. I somehow, some way, am hoping that Pittsburgh gets middled here. Pittsburgh loses by 1 or 2 points in like a final second Justin Tucker field goal. I would win a fuckload of money if that happens. I'm sure a bunch of followers would too. Robert Griffin is starting for Baltimore. Hodges is back for Pittsburgh after getting benched last week because Rudolph got hurt. Hodges was terrible versus the Jets. The Baltimore defense should still be pretty good. Pittsburgh has to win. James Conner isn't playing for Pittsburgh. I don't know. I will say this.
Pittsburgh still has a shot.
Pittsburgh has a shot to win. I think Pittsburgh probably wins the game.
Ultimately. You hate Pittsburgh.
I do. But I already got my.
How do you feel about Ben Roethlisberger coming back next year?
Good luck, bro. I mean, your fucking coach has done a better job without you than with you. So, good luck. I mean, really, I wish you luck. I cannot possibly imagine.
How much will he weigh next year? Should we do an over-under?
Ooh, I like that. Why don't we do that next year?
Okay. 267.
Ooh. Over.
Like they'll say he weighs 250.
Jamarcus Russell. He's like a one and a half Jamarcus Russells. All right.
Listen, a couple of fat guys can make fat jokes. Okay.
Yes.
That's fine.
Yeah. Fuck off. PC culture. Fuck off. Oh. All right. Final NFL game, Joe. One that matters. One that matters. San Francisco travels to Seattle in the Monday night game. Is that correct? It's in Seattle, right? I have that correct.
Yes.
I think so.
Yes, it is in Seattle.
San Francisco travels to Seattle.
Marshawn Lynch, baby.
San Francisco now is 3.5-point favorites.
San Francisco. I don't care. Jimmy G is going to go on the road. He's going to beat that ass. And then he's going to get a bye. And then it's going to get that's trouble. I want to see a rematch of Saints, San Francisco, but I want it in San Francisco.
I want to see San Francisco, Baltimore in the Super Bowl if the Patriots do not make it, and I don't have a good feeling about that. I want to see the rematch of that game in the Super Bowl to me. So
Jimmy G versus Tom Brady.
If Tom Brady doesn't make it, I want to see him versus Lamar Jackson. So
can anybody – we'll do this next week.
What?
We'll do this next week.
Yes.
Can anybody beat Baltimore? And can anybody beat Baltimore, and can anybody go into Baltimore and beat them?
I think Kansas City has the best shot. To me, Kansas City is the best shot of beating Baltimore in Baltimore. I do not think the Patriots can beat Baltimore in Baltimore. That's my worry.
I disagree. I just we'll talk about it next week.
Okay, that's fine. We'll save it for next week. All right.
Is that it? Do we want to do anything else? Because I know you got to go.
Let's see. Let's see what we got for questions.
Texas A&M stinks.
What's the score?
It's 0-0, but they stink.
Yeah, I mean, they do stink.
The fucking bowl game.
All right, we got four questions. You want to do four questions quick?
Yes.
All right. Come on next, Overrunner 95. We'll get to your questions, and we'll wrap it up.
Hardcore baseball talk. Inside the ropes with wrestling talk. And where you should put your money with Over-Under 98.5. Listen to the podcast at 98.5thesportshub.com and on the Sports Hub app.
You're listening to the Bankroll Boys. Follow them on Twitter at Joey Murr, at Dan Lifshatz, and send in your questions at Over Under 985.
Back here, Over Under 985. A couple of things here, Dan, before we get to questions. So, marijuana in Massachusetts profited $420 million in the year of 2019. I ask you, Dan, as I noticed around the country that a lot of money in gambling is being profited by a lot of states. On December 30th, New Hampshire becomes legal to bet. We already have it in Rhode Island. It's not in Massachusetts yet. And for those who listen, that's where we're based out of, Massachusetts. The question was asked of me today. What do people do more? Smoke marijuana or gamble? And I had to think about it. I think more people smoke marijuana.
Yeah, but it's closer than you would think.
But where can you make more of a profit? Off gambling losses or off marijuana?
Oh, fuck.
Because I'm going to say gambling losses.
Yeah, you might. You might make more money off gambling losses than marijuana. But I feel like here's the thing about gambling. Right? It's not super, there's not a lot of girls in gambling yet, right? But there's a lot of girls who smoke weed. And so therefore, I'd be tempted to say more people smoke weed just because there's not a huge section of females that gamble in sports yet. One day, maybe, but we're not there yet.
Now,
but
imagine,
it's close.
Imagine making money off of people's losses and marijuana.
I like where your head's at. That sounds fucking fantastic.
What are you doing, Massachusetts? What are you doing?
Just fucking legalize.
You got everybody around you just robbing you right now.
Jesus Christ. It's ridiculous.
Every state around you is just, oh, okay, they'll tag this. And you're just sitting there. Just sitting there.
Idiots.
Anyways, just wanted to share that brief story.
No, it's fair.
Because New Jersey crushed it. think they made like, I don't know. They crushed it over the last $683 million, I think it was.
Dude. They
and Vegas went off, too. I think they won like.
The highest handle. I tweeted at Felger Mass, the highest handle in like any state ever.
Millennials.
Yep.
Don't know what they're doing.
I'm just texting my wife here to bring my computer and charger so that I can put the podcast out for you guys while I'm at dinner.
Yes, we'll do a podcast next week. I am available after Tuesday, Dan.
I am available after Wednesday. So we will do one Thursday or Friday. So normal. All right. We only have one question. The other questions were shitty and we're not doing them. Okay. Nothing good. Okay. Question from John and Jack, and I'll give you one question afterwards. What are the biggest differences you see in handicap in college basketball versus NBA?
Can you say it again?
Biggest differences between handicap in college basketball and NBA.
Oh, God. I don't even know where to start.
Everything would be my answer.
You know what I have noticed? Christmas Day, the runs, man. Like, in the NBA, there's runs like you can't believe.
College basketball, teams blow leads like you wouldn't believe, like massive leads. In the NBA, teams blow leads and then come back. Like, good teams will blow leads and then end up winning anyways. Maybe not covering, but they win. College basketball, teams just blow leads and then get killed. A perfect example, Joe. I bet Houston on there versus Washington, right? Washington was up like 14 the first half. They blew that game at halftime. They blew the game and lost outright. Houston won that game. Shouldn't have happened. They're just... It's a totally different sport. It's a totally different sport. You have to treat it as such. Two halves versus four quarters. It's completely different. Home teams in college basketball are worth way more than home teams in the NBA. Consistency in the NBA for good teams is worth way more than college basketball. True, winning on the road in college basketball is tough. It is. And winning in the NBA is on the road is expected for good teams. And I think if you're looking for key differences, that's where you can start. You got anything else on that one, Joe?
No.
All right. All right. So I had a question for you, Joe, and I wanted to, or people had asked me this question. What for you was the most fun about working on Touch and Rich the past couple of weeks? Because I've been asked that probably three or four times.
You know, the gambling thing really only came up like once in a while.
Yeah,
like,
it was very rare.
Like
yeah.
The Chiefs game, I thought it was kind of rigged. Right. You know, we have fun with the wrangle and doing appearances and stuff like that. But for me, I think actually being involved with show content, meaning if you listen to the show, Rich does a lot of the production and the topics. I get to hang out with like Dan O'Brien, the producer, and Nick Jamelli runs the Twitch, and Bird, you know, does some other things besides answering phones. But I'm involved in the content. You know, these are guys that have been in radio for years. And so I'll just, you know, I'm motivated, I'm excited, I'm ready to do it. So I'm always throwing content at them, and they were appreciative for it. But it's basically off of Fred's reactions. That's what the show is based off of. You never know what time he's going to show up. You don't know if he's going to show up. But when he does, the guy's a pure talent. And it's exciting to watch. So the slight involvement in that and being a part of that was very fun.
That's awesome.
And I learned a lot. So
glad to hear. I think, Joe, in the next 2 weeks, we'll have an announcement to make on this podcast.
Yeah. There's 2020's here. Let's see, how many more days do we have in this year?
Four. It's the 28th. So not even the 27th. Yeah, so four more days, including today.
Yeah. Yeah. We have, yeah.
Sorry, not including today. 28th, 29th, 30th, and 31st. Yeah.
So I would say, when does life get back together? Like, divisional weekend?
Two weeks. That's what I'm saying. Okay. I think probably 2 weeks.
I would say divisional weekend or championship weekend.
Okay.
Big
announcement coming in the next couple weeks. Stay tuned. Something that you guys will all enjoy, I can assure you. Hopefully merch is coming next.
Yeah.
We're waiting on that still.
We've had programming shifts.
Our program director left, Mike Thomas. We've kind of said on the podcast multiple times. So we're kind of letting everything kind of breathe a little bit before we kind of start going
into the holidays, people.
Yeah, the holidays, there is change. Like,
We're getting there. I know it's coming. I know everyone wants it. I blame you. Trust me, we want it to, but it's coming. But
Dan told his wife he's going to be home at 7:30. It's 7:13.
I said I got to be at dinner by 7:30, 7:45. I know I'm not going to make it.
You might.
No, I'm not. I gotta edit this thing.
Oh no.
Well, I gotta at least send it. Find a fucking way to send it. So, anyways, I'll do that. And yeah, I'm going to get out of here.
Well, everybody, Happy New Year. We'll be back next week, I'm sure. I hope our quality was fine.
Yep.
Sorry we didn't give a lot of PPs, but just listen to what we have to say.
Last show of the decade, 2020 will be a very profitable year for us. So,
all right, he is Dan Lifshatz. I'm Joe Murray. Follow us on Twitter at Joey Murray, at Dan Lifshatz, and at Over Under 985.
Who you got?
There's always a reason for better health, and here's Carlo with his.
My program with Awaken 180 actually started when my daughter was born, and at that time, I was over 300 pounds. I felt I owed it to her to better myself and my family, of course. And I'll never forget, it was my fourth week. I came in, and my goals for that week were not met. And they found the positive in everything. And that was the biggest thing for me. Awaken 180 has provided me confidence, not only in my day-to-day eating, it's my day-to-day role as a father, as a friend. And that's something that for the longest time, I didn't have.
The benefits are endless after losing weight with Awaken 180. Carlo dropped his 84 pounds and he did it in under 4 months. Scale results, life results, with the solution for weight loss online at awaken180weightloss.com.